Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Monday, August 24th, 2020. The seriously ill Russian opposition politician Alexei Navalny arrived at the Berlin University Clinic Charité on Saturday morning. He was brought from Omsk in Siberia to Tegel Airport in a special airplane. The university clinic explained that Navalny will now be extensively examined, and it will take some time. As soon as findings are available, the public will then be informed. The Putin opponent and anti-corruption activist had fallen into a coma during a trip through Russia on Thursday, and then was taken to an intensive care hospital in Omsk. His wife and his supporters suspect that he was poisoned. The chief physician of the hospital in Omsk, however, spoke of a metabolic disorder. According to the physician, no traces of a poison were detectable in Navalny's blood. Originally, he was supposed to be flown to Berlin on Friday, but Russian doctors had initially declared that the 44-year-old was not fit for transport due to his illness and refused a visit from German doctors. On Friday afternoon, the doctors were given access to Navalny and concluded that he was fit for transport. Navalny's supporters and donors had organized and financed the flight of the special plane after he was admitted to the clinic on Thursday. According to their own statements, the German doctors were able to, thanks to the equipment of their plane, quote, bring Navalny safely to the Charité Hospital in Berlin immediately. Navalny is one of the sharpest critics of the Kremlin head Vladimir Putin and is the leader of the liberal opposition. He regularly accuses the government and oligarchs of corruption and abuse of power. He's also criticized, however, for taking part in marches by right-wing extremists and calling himself a nationalist Democrat. The chief of staff of the participating non-governmental organization Cinema for Peace, Leonid Volkov, said that it was important to bring Navalny to Berlin in order to obtain an independent analysis of his state of health. According to the initiative, it wants to make sure Navalny, like the critic of Putin, Peter Vereslav, before him, is not brought to Germany too late and it's no longer possible to identify the cause of illness. As Berlin Briefing previously reported, the dissident Peter Vereslav of the Russian artists group Pussy Riot, which is critical of the government, was brought to the Berlin Charité for treatment in 2018 after being suspected of poisoning. In Russia, according to his own statement, he was, quote, completely isolated on the very first day of my poisoning. The first 24 hours in particular were, quote, extremely important in order to understand which toxins were used. Retailers in Berlin will be allowed to open their doors to customers four more times on a Sunday this year. According to the agreement by the Senate's Labor Administration, shops will be allowed to open on October 4th, November 8th, and on the two Sundays in Advent on December 6th and 20th from 1 to 8 p.m. In Berlin, the Senate can set up to 8 dates for Sunday openings each year. Prerequisites for Sunday sales are events taking place in the German capital. On October 4th, the Senate administration justifies the date with the Bürgerfest or Citizens Festival to mark the 30th anniversary of the Day of German Unity, which is to be celebrated the same weekend. In addition, the festival Berlin Leuchtet is also to take place. The farewell party for the Tegel Airport, Danke Tegel, is currently scheduled for November 8th, and on the two Sundays in Advent, there have always been numerous Christmas markets in Berlin over the past years, which justified opening on Sundays. Due to Corona, however, it's still unclear to what extent there will be Christmas markets in the city this year. Sunday openings are controversial in Berlin. The Verdi Union in particular is considered a stern opponent, which went to court several times in the past against fixed Sunday opening dates. The union had always argued that locally bound major events did not justify citywide store openings on Sundays. Verdi has not ruled out, therefore, lawsuits in view of the dates mentioned by the Labor Administration. It was only in June that the Federal Administrative Court in Leipzig had confirmed that events justifying the reason for Sunday openings had to be characteristic for the specific Sunday. Verdi announced to discuss possible further steps and legal action against the Sunday openings at the beginning of September. The Berlin-Brandenburg Trade Association, however, was relaxed with regard to a possible lawsuit. In a statement about the planned Sunday openings on October 4th and November 9th, CEO Nils Busch-Petersen said, quote, "Both dates are associated with major events, with numerous visitors expected at many locations in the city." On top of that, the Trade Association and the Chamber of Industry and Commerce had increasingly promoted the idea of making more Sunday openings possible, and certainly found support for this within Berlin's state politics. In a Morgan Post interview in mid-July, Senator for Economic Affairs Ramona Popp had spoken out in favor of opening at least one Sunday a month. Mayor Mueller had also responded by declaring that he could imagine more Sunday openings and wishes to talk with Verdi and also with Labour Senator Breitenbach about it. Breitenbach, however, said on Friday that she sees no room for more Sunday openings and that there are existing laws that must be observed, as the protection of Sundays is anchored in the Constitution. She explained that the Constitution would therefore have to be changed, and that is a matter for the Bundestag. The Mohrenstraße in Mitte is to be renamed after Anton Wilhelm Amo, as decided by the District Assembly or the BVVV of Mitte at the request of the SPD and the Greens. Via Twitter, the SPD spoke of a, quote, "great success" and stated that the resolution called on the district office to, quote, "immediately start the process of renaming." According to the current understanding of democracy, quote, "the existing racist core of the name is incriminating and damages Berlin's national and international reputation." Anti-racism initiatives welcomed the renaming. Minyaka Sururu Maboro from the Berlin Postcolonial Initiative said that, quote, "Berlin is writing world history," and, quote, "this is a great day. Berlin is banishing an insult from the city and honoring Amo, a resistance scholar from Africa." Amo was the first known philosopher and jurist of African origin in Germany. Born in 1703 in what is now Ghana, he was abducted by the Dutch East India Company and, quote, "given away" to the court of Braunschweig-Wolfenbüttel. He attended university, received his doctorate in Halle in 1729, and worked as a scientist at the universities of Halle, Wittenberg, and Jena until 1747. The renaming of Mohrenstrasse has been under discussion for years. The Decolonized Berlin Alliance has been organizing renaming parties there for several years, and part of the alliance is the Initiative Schwarze Menschen. However, legal hurdles are preventing a quick renaming. The basis for any new or changed name is the Berlin Street Law. In addition, the BVVV has made fundamental decisions on new and renamed roads. Among other things, a BVVV resolution of 2002 states that the removal of names, quote, "must be based on nationalist, militarist, and anti-democratic attitudes." The Berlin Street Law, however, does not provide for the participation of those affected, especially the residents. And this has recently led to repeated debates and objections in other districts of Berlin, for example, in Wedding in the Afrikanische Viertel. At the beginning of July, the BVVV had initially announced that it intended to rename the Mohrenstrasse station to Glinkastrasse, which is named after the Russian composer Mikhail Ivanovich Glinka, which meets Mohrenstrasse near the station. However, after accusations that Glinka was anti-Semitic, the plans were halted. The BVVV responded by stating that it was open to other proposals and prepared to look for a solution. The condition? The new name of the station had to give travelers a spatial orientation. A protest group declared the former music school in the Friedrichshagener Straße in Copenhagen occupied on Saturday. The group Jugendbesetzt believes that, quote, there is too little space for young people in Köpenick, and this building is not being used anyway. We would like to create new free space, unquote. Before the occupation, Jugendbesetzt published a statement on different social media platforms demanding that the Senate make rooms available which can be used in a self-governing manner and, quote, offer the possibility of creating a safe space away from structural violence and capitalist meritocracy. The activists also accused the red-red-green state government of violently opposing leftist projects in the city, stating, quote, queer feminist retreat areas are missing in this city or are strongly threatened with eviction. We resist rising rents, systematic displacement of our meeting places, and stand in solidarity with all threatened or already evicted projects, unquote. According to Berlin police, there were only a few people in the building and 20 on the grounds of the former music school in the early afternoon. If you like our podcast, you can support us with a donation or simply help others discover us by liking and sharing our episodes on social media. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, where we occasionally post updates on breaking news. Please visit our website at berlinbriefing.de for info about donating. That said, please remember we are forever committed to keeping Berlin Briefing free and without advertisements for everyone. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.